From Death Inside the Death Star, I am Andrew Richards.
My name is Mark Krasinovich.
And I'm Andrew Mason.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, the show about Windows internals and Microsoft internals and very common sys internals, like we did last time with Dista VHT. Two guests this week, Mark and Andrew. Tell us who you are. I think most people know who Mark is, but say who are anyway.
So I'm Mark Krasinovich. I'm CTO of Azure. More importantly, in the context of this show, I'm the founder and author of the Sysinternals tools.
Yep.
And I'm Andrew Mason. I'm a program manager in the Windows Server and Services group, where I'm in charge of NanoServer. And so we're going to cover both today.
Talk about Nano. Yeah. So we have a bit of an announcement today. You can see on the slide behind us. Sysinternals is moving into the server Nano world. So maybe Mark can explain what that actually means.
Yeah, well, Nano is a new version of server in 2016 that Andrew works on. So I'll turn it actually over to him to talk a little bit about Nano, and then we'll come back to the tools.
Okay, so Nano's a super small, lightweight version of Windows Server. So it's an installation option of standard and data center. It's about 400 megabytes on disk. It runs Hyper-V, DNS server, scale-out file server, web server, and failover clustering. So it's a great host for your cloud data center. And because it is so lightweight, it has fewer services running, fewer ports open, and so it gives you a much greater, much smaller attack surface.
So it's kind of like evolving the idea of what was originally server core,
yes.
And we just kept making it smaller and smaller and smaller.
Exactly.
And so what's the main differences that obviously people will see between core and Nano?
So Nano server is completely headless, so you have to manage it remotely, other than a little recovery console that allows you to fix your network.
Cool.
So what do you use PowerShell remoting or your MMCs or remote web GUI to?
So what did that mean to the sysinternals world? Why does sysinternals need changing because of that?
Yeah, well, so many of the tools didn't have command line versions, or some of them didn't. And so as part of the porting process, we've created command line versions of some of the tools. But in addition, they have to be made easy to use with PowerShell remoting. And so one of the behaviors that they had was to spit out text to standard error, and PowerShell shows all that in red, which is scary to people, so we had to fix that. But more critically, and the hardest work, was refactoring the tools to work with the Nano API surface, because Nano is a stripped down version, essentially, of Windows, so not all the full richness of Win32 is there. So Nano, so the tools had to be factored so that they weren't calling APIs outside of Nano.
So do the tools have both supports, like, you know, they link to the basics that everything has on every operating system, and then optionally add in additional features, or is it actually a split in the code base?
So it's actually pretty cool, because the command line tools that work for Nano, one of the things we did in preparation for this is break out the tools to 64-bit standalone executables. So in the history of sysinternals, I've tried to make it easy for people to use on regardless of what operating system they're on. So many of them are what I call fat binaries, or what people call fat binaries, where they embed the drivers as well as the 64-bit versions of themselves. So if you launch the 32-bit version on a 64-bit OS, it'll extract the 64-bit executable and launch that.
So now kind of change the command line down to the
right.
child.
Yeah. Now there's no 32-bit subsystem on Nano.
Correct. So it's 64-bit only.
Yeah. So this forced us to say, we need to pull out the 64-bit executables. If somebody wants to run them on Nano, they need to run the 64-bit versions.
So the 64-bit version would still have the sys file within itself, though, extracting
right.
a 64-bit
yep.
sys file, yeah. So that kind of fat binary concept still kind of exists, but it's just a little bit more lightweight.
It's just the 32-bit, 64-bit, yeah.
Cool. So how did you choose the tools? Was it just purely based on need? Was it based on just technical availability to do it? Or what was the decision process?
So certainly it was the most popular tools that we said those are the high priority ones. And then basically the Nano team helped out, actually did most of the porting work, and they just run amok through the tools and basically ported all the
stuff.
Command line tools.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, and we've had a lot of customer requests for various tools for helping them troubleshoot as they're moving their stuff over to Nano server. So we prioritized those.
So what were some of the main new ones in the command line sense? Of like what got a new command line tool?
One example is Not My Fault. So Not My Fault's actually used by support, and in some cases, to intentionally crash a machine.
Yeah.
So Not My Fault C, a command line version of that now works on Nano, Not My Fault C64, that will enable somebody to intentionally crash Nano if they want to capture a dump and something's going on.
So it's very useful when control, scroll, scroll, and those other keystrokes haven't been set up prior.
Correct.
And so you've got this last just-in-time chance of crashing a server.
A reliable way of crashing your server.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about the big boys like Process Monitor and Process Explorer and all that things? Were they all considered?
They're considered, and actually we've got projects underway to see what kind of command line versions of those we can create. Yeah. That's something that I've kind of had off and on through the history of SysInternals. Now, Process Explorer, a lot of that functionality is in list DLLs and handle together. So it's not, you know, there's some functionality specific to Process Explorer, so there perhaps will be a Process Explorer specific version that will wrap it all together. And Process Monitor, you can execute remotely, mm-hmm. You know, have it in a headless way to capture log files.
Yeah.
So that capability is there, but we haven't specifically pulled it out and targeted Nano with that.
Yeah. Does things like boot tracing work with Process Monitor under Nano?
It would. Yeah. I mean, not to. It's not part of this release.
Yeah. But that's a non-UI experience.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. So should we get into some demos? That's what's always the cool thing to do with. So.
Yeah, sure.
So let's do something.
Yeah, Andrew will show us Nano first.
Right.
In action.
So Nano in action.
Yeah.
I won't say Nano.
So him.
Mork and Mindy.
Before we start, I set up a PowerShell remoting session in the Nano server. So SysInt demo is my Nano server machine. I already established the connection. And there's this registry key that you can query on your machines. And this has existed since server 2012, and it was in 2012 R2 as well. Nano server is a new level there, but this could be used to determine if you were on the desktop or if you were running on server core. So you add a Nano server to it. So with your scripts or tools or whatever, there's an easy way to tell and adjust your behavior based on what you're running on if you want.
Yeah.
So like Mark said, Nano server is a very small headless machine. So first I'm going to start by running DU64, and you'll notice as we do the demos, they all have 64 stuck on the end of them. Yeah, and here.
In fact, if you're on a 32-bit box, on a 64-bit box that traditionally supports 32, you'll see this in Process Explorer. Like if you run Procmon, you'll see Procmon to XE and Procmon 64 to XE as a child. So it's just really, you're seeing this extracted version natively.
They've been set free.
Yes, they've been set free, exactly. And so the first time you run a particular tool, you'll notice there's a dash except EULA. If you don't include that, it will spit out the EULA on the screen and tell you to add that switch. So, you know, as Mark mentioned, handles is available on Nano server. Works fine there. List DLLs is available. So you have all these great SysInternal tools available to monitor and manage your Nano server machine.
That's cool.
Yep. And the other thing you can also do, we do have open PowerShell, PowerShell. We have SSH working against Nano server as well. So you can go download this and install it on Nano server. And so you can connect in, and there I am connected to my Nano server machine again. And if I run DU64.
Yeah, that's so fast.
Yes, super speedy.
Yeah.
There's not a lot installed on that machine.
Not much to enumerate.
Right. This particular image has just under 600 megabytes.
Do you pick up hidden files as well? So you would see the page file and all stuff?
Yep.
Some of that's going to be page file too,
yes.
So that's even more impressive.
Yep.
Awesome. So what's next? What else can you
Well, I think one of the tools that is popular in cloud worlds and also server infrastructure is PSPing for looking at network-related issues. So just quickly show a demo of PSPing coming out of Nano.
Yes.
And we did a PSPing episode only a couple of episodes ago. We finally got around to it. And it was driven by your need to, you know, investigate Azure and everything else, right? And you needed this millisecond accuracy.
Pings and bandwidth tests and latency tests.
And then also you added the awesome ability to choose the port so you can ping where you normally can't ping where ICMP is blocked. So you can do port 80 and stuff like that.
Yeah. There were standalone tools like TCP ping, which would do that. But PSPing wraps it all up, does ICMP, TCP pings, as well as latency and bandwidth, like I mentioned. So if we go to this is a laptop here that is sitting on the same network as the Nano virtual machine. I've got a command here that is going to tell PSPing to listen on the IPv4 address for this laptop, amason-x1, on port 5000. This dash F says to open the firewall port in the firewall rules if it's not already open. And the dash S says act as a server. So that will allow clients to connect to it and do tests against it. So now that we've got it waiting on port 5000 here, we go back to the Nano installation. And I think I've got the command here. Yep. So the first thing I can do is just do a port ping on that 5000. That's the IP address that... Okay.
Before you hit enter, let me just pull this window back up again.
Oh, yeah. So you'll see the server here is seeing the connections and then seeing the connections closed as the PS ping client is just seeing if the connection works and then dropping it right away and then telling us how long it took. So you can see anywhere between 5 milliseconds and 100 milliseconds on across the network, and this is on wireless as well. And we can do something else, which is to actually look at a bandwidth test across the Microsoft network through wireless here. So this command right here says to PSPing, do a bandwidth test, make the packet size 64K, this number of iterations of sending that packet, print a histogram of the latencies, or the bandwidth, sorry, after you're done, and use this IPv4 address here. And so now...
And you can see the 65,000 by 64K.
Actually, that's going to take too long.
10,000 is a bit too many.
Yeah. So we can just take that down by an order of fact, order of magnitude here.
So this is serial, or is it they one after each other?
No, it's actually doing it all in parallel.
In parallel.
Yeah. Okay. And so you can see we got a average bandwidth of around 8 megabytes per second, and you can see the histogram goes from around 5 megabytes per second up to 11.
Yeah, it's a bit of a bell curve there, kind of
right.
Grows up to the 7 in the middle then. Yeah. And actually it's got two little spikes around the 7 and the 6.
Yeah.
Another that's one cool. Up here. And obviously if you do it longer and longer, you're going to have more and more accurate sampling.
Yep. So a key tool for working with Nano in a data center infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Now there's another tool that I have to show, and it's one that then Jeffrey told the Nano team explicitly, do not port this tool to Nano.
I thought you were going to say zoom it.
No. Yeah, zoom it. So, that'd be a trick if I could get zoom it to work on Nano.
That would be a
operating system.
That would be a trick.
Yeah. But all the fun's just configure, right?
Yes.
Jeffrey, of course, the father of PowerShell and PowerShell remoting, he thinks that's the first-class way to actually interact with Nano. And he wanted to ultimately kill PSExec, which is the tool that I created back around 2000
years ago.
And is still very, very popular in enterprises for connecting remotely.
Very.
So, like I said, he told the Nano team, do not port PSExec. I want to kill that thing. And so I went and ported it myself, just to spite him. And so here we've got PSExec. We're going to open a command, remote command prompt against that Nano system here. And this will take a few seconds. This is installing a service on the Nano machine. Yeah. If the service was already installed, this would be much more quick.
Performant.
Here. Yeah, performant, I guess, the Microsoft word.
Actually, I noticed that actually that's now in the dictionary.
It is in the dictionary?
Yeah, because my wife was harassing me when I used to... When I joined Microsoft, that I was using this
not word. The Urban Dictionary or the Microsoft.
No, actually, it was in that. It's in. I think I saw it in some dictionary.com or something.
Yeah.
But I can now go to my wife. It's in the dictionary. It's in dictionary.com.
I heard that when I joined Microsoft in 2006. Everything was performant.
Yeah, I had never heard the word before I joined.
We like to make up our own words.
So here we go. And you can see if I do a host name, you can see we're sitting here on the Nano machine, and so.
You've got full access to do anything you want, really.
Yeah, I can say hello, Jeffrey. And there. So there's PSExec on Nano.
Cool. So anything major else in the tool set? I mean, there's lots of the simple, list DLLs, all that stuff was there. And I think in general, you could probably get away with, I think you've covered the vast majority of what you need, right? I mean, in the absence of Presses Explorer, for example, there's all these alternate tools. And quite frankly, what you've learned from this environment, you can actually use anywhere, right? You don't have to be stuck with this UI environment outside of Nano. It's not something that, you only should do it this way in Nano and keep it the UI elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything great learnings from the experience?
Well, the porting process was a learning, actually, for both of us, the Nano team and me and Microsoft in general, about what it takes to port things to Nano.
Yeah.
So I will go ahead and do a little, I've got the tools on my laptop here, as well as the tools we use to help us analyze them and do the porting process. So, sysinternals, I'm going to show PSPing here. The first thing we did was we have a tool called NanoServer API Scan.exe. We posted that out on the internet. That's the same tool we have available externally that the dev teams use internally to figure out how to do the porting. And you know, as you guys were discussing earlier, the first thing we discovered was, well, this is 32-bit wrapper that then extracts into the 64-bit version. So we have to get a true 64-bit only version to be able to do this, because NanoServer, like I said, is 64-bit only.
Yeah.
So you can see there was a bunch of APIs it was calling that aren't available on NanoServer. So it shows you where they were located in the system, and in some cases, a possible substitution.
So that's cool.
That gives you a pointer to them. But the other thing we have on NanoServer is this functionality called reverse forwarders. So a lot of these APIs are functional, except maybe like get the dialog box ones. but a bunch of them for accessing the registry and the file system and stuff exist in NanoServer, but they've been moved from the higher level APIs like user 32 or kernel 32 down to lower level DLLs that exist in NanoServer. Mm-hmm. And so reverse forwarders are little stubs that will take that API call and send it off to the right place.
And I've never been able to figure out why you call them reverse forwarders, not just forwarders, but because that's what
the team that developed them came up with the name, and we didn't let marketing get involved. So reverse forwarders stuck. So if you then run it with the reverse forwarders, you'll notice that it is pretty much clean.
That's cool.
Everything needed was available there. And if you look at the reverse forwarders, you'll see, you know, these are all stubs that exist on the system. If I compare my user 32 on my Win 10 machine here to the user 32 reverse forwarder, you know,
size difference quite a bit. You know,
quite a size difference.
So like 1.4 meg versus 25K.
Yep.
So it's just purely stubs that just forward calls.
Forward calls down to. So you don't have to relink your code to where the APIs now live. You can run against kernel 32.
And it's not really forwarding through there. It's actually the loader saying, oh, this function actually lives over here. Right. And then it patches up the import table of the target to point at the ultimate location. So
loader magic.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep. Awesome.
Exactly.
Cool.
So that tool's available, the NanoServer API scan on our NanoServer blog for anybody to use. And like I said, it's the same tools we use internally as we're trying to port things.
Yep. And actually, what about the availability of sysinternals? Where it will just be on sysinternals.com at some point?
Yeah, so by the time you see this show, there will be 64. So if you take a look at the compatibility section up on the top right of the pages, it'll say supported on these versions of Windows and higher. And that's going to say supported on Nano Server 2016 and higher. And the zip files will include the 64-bit versions, so those are going to be Nano compatible for those tools that are Nano compatible as well. And there's a new suite zip file. So there's a sysinternals suite.zip, which has all the tools in it.
Yep.
The Nano specific tools will be packaged in a sysinternals-nano suite.zip.
And what about live.sysinternals.com? How's that apply?
Yeah, so live.sysinternals.com will also have all the 64-bit executables that are Nano compatible. And like it, we said, one of our goals was not to have Nano-specific versions of the tools. The command line tools, if they work on Nano, they also work on full server.
Yep. Or even client. The PSP you ran was the Nano version.
So if people have been scripting sysinternals, and we know they have been, do you suggest that they change to the 64-bit one just to save that unpacking phase?
Yeah,
that
they're already there? It's at their discretion, right? Yeah. If they're living in a 64-bit-only environment, then no harm to just switch to the 64-bit tools.
But the optimization.
Yeah, muscle memory. Like, I have muscle memory, so I will be using this standard 32-bit ones.
I will be typing proc dump till the day I die.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Awesome. So that's about it, I guess. So as always, put your comments below and email us at defragtools@microsoft.com to give us questions and answers. Anything to do with this, I'll just happily forward on to Mark. And hope you enjoy it.
Yeah. Before we go, I wanted to mention one more thing about the tools, and that is that Aaron Margosis and I are working on the next edition of the Sysinternals book, and that should be out in about a month and a half or so. And that will include, of course, some discussion about Nano compatibility.
Awesome.
But it's a major revamp of the last version, so lots of new content.
You have this habit of making new tools and changing features and stuff.
Yeah.
So
it's what I do in my spare time.
Definitely.
Keep
awesome.
Myself occupied.
Very cool. The Channel 9 studio has been closed for a while. We're actually moving building. We're getting a new swanky new studio actually next door. So we will be off the air for a couple of weeks, maybe a month or so. So we'll see you then. But there's 160 plus episodes in the history that you can go watch if you want to find something. But thanks guys for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
And we'll see you next time on Defrag Tools.